Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Fordsville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line. We have God credit for keeping us from the last time we were together to tonight. I know we've all gone through some challenges and some ups and some downs and from situations and circumstances, but through it all, God has shown himself strong and shown himself mighty in all of our lives, and we thank God for that. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly vow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, like I said, we've gone through some ups and downs and some situations and circumstances, but through it all, God has kept us. And we thank God for keeping Ms. Jessica. I know she's gone through some changes and some ups and some downs, but through it all, God has been good. And thank God for just keeping the family, keeping you and Dr. G and the family in a prayer mode. Amen. That God is continuing to bring us through. And without the Lord on our side, somebody said, I don't know what I would do. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. That's one thing I definitely learned over the week is that over the past month, really, I was looking at the last time we were able to get together between everything that was going on was October 12th. But the devil's busy, but you know, said it right when she shares that she really physically and emotionally saw for herself the fight between, the spiritual fight between good and evil. And it was something where the devil tries to say something else, and you put your trust in God, and God claps right back. But if you don't put your trust in God and you just look at the situation, it'll take you out of here. It'll take you out of your mind, make you lose your mind, go crazy, give up, and be negative. And I was just sharing with our church on our prayer line last night after what you know, one of Dad's favorite songs was Still Have Joy. After all the things I've been through, I still have joy. I was sharing last night, I just mm-hmm. cannot be negative right now. I just can't. People,
yeah.
And it's funny because now I see people I see the complaints more vivid. And I'm more like, really?
Mm-hmm.
It really, is it that bad that that person, you got to stand in line that long? Okay. Is it that bad that that person looked at you sideways and you felt that, or you did something for them and they didn't do anything back for you? So what? You're still in the land of living. You should not get your joy from people. You should get your joy from the Lord. And if you let people steal it, and if you let people make you
mm-hmm.
be bad, and that was what we did in the hospital. It was like no matter what we went through, all the nurses and the doctors were talking about how positive we were and how we made an impact on them because there was so much negativity, whining, and complaining people. And we were just like, you know what, thank you. Jesse was always thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I'm trying to push through, giving God the glory. And that's really something that has fallen short in our Christian lives today. And it really is one of those things that's really bothering me that the reason why this world is a mess is because we as Christians complain too much about little stupid stuff. But when you put it in perspective, God gave you life. He didn't give you life to wake up and whine and complain all day.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah.
That's my take on it.
That's right. And when we were last together, we were talking about faithful people we were thankful for, and that's one of the things that I'm grateful for, is that God has placed people around us that have gone through and weathered the storm, Dr. G, that they let us know that even in the challenges, you still can praise God, you still can have a positive attitude, and we were thanking God for people who have demonstrated that, and that's the thing about God. He's not a respecter of person, and that if he did it for the faithful saints of old, come on now, he definitely can do it with us in present day. And one thing that we can rest assured is that God will give you what you need when you need it. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, that is so true. Because when we look back and we think about all that Jessica has gone through, and then what the doctors had told Sheila when they went in to do the corrective surgery, that she's been having problems all the way back since January. And it had to get to that point where she was so that they could go in and see the damage and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
All we could do is just say, well, Lord, you know what you're doing. And then I had a thought this week. I said, now, he waited. He let me retire back in January so that I would be during all this time and Sheila could go do what she had to do. So, you know, I watch God at work. And that scripture that says that God's ways are not like our ways, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we just thank God for his word that we can pull on those scriptures. And, you know, we're studying the book of Romans, and we're still in the first chapter of the book of Romans. And I believe on last time I called it the gospel a couple of times. It's not actually a gospel. It's actually a book. And it's where Paul is talking about the gospel, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. And when Paul, it came clear to him who God was and who God's son was, it made all the difference in his life that no matter what he was going through, Paul could say, whether I was down, he said, or whether I was on top, you know, I was okay. So I learned to be content, whatever state I was in. And that's a lot of the positivity that Christianity should be lived. And we talked about those three pillars on last time we were together about knowing God's word and living God's word. and that you can know God, you can know God's word, and you can live God's word, and that will bring you a peace that no matter what the situation is or what the circumstances, you can be content in the Lord, because you can't put a price tag on the peace that God gives. And when you have that peace, what happens is God fills your heart, fills your life with His Holy Spirit, and you should want to share that with someone else. When you're seeing someone go down, when you're seeing someone struggling, when you see someone facing the effects of this world that we live, that we have a good news, that we have a story that we can tell somebody that, yeah, you might be in the midst of this thing. And Sheila G, I think last time you were talking about Minister Henry, when she was telling you about joy, that it's not just a feeling, that you can have joy in the midst of some things that aren't comfortable, in the midst of some things that are not ideal, and God will give you a peace. And He'll put people around you, station people around you, that will encourage you, that will tell you of their past victories, that will tell you of what God has done in their lives. And this is the mode of the church. The church should be in that mode of passing that on, and that we should be able to encourage each other in the midst of life's challenges. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what I was saying, is that really is what our role is, to encourage each other, to encourage others. But it seems like more and more the churches, the people of this world, and that should be Christians, are really making it about them and about their problems and about their issues, instead of recognizing, as you were talking about what Sister Henry said and what Paul said, you can be in an unhappy situation and have joy. And have peace, because the joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. But I think more and more we're allowing our human emotions to take over. So what we see and what we don't like, we focus on what we see. The Christians now, some Christians are focusing more on what they see and what they don't like, what's making them uncomfortable, what's the problem, instead of focusing on the problem solver, saying it is what it is. But one thing I know beyond a shadow of doubt, that God is with me through it all.
Amen. That is awesome news. And so let's go to the book of Romans, the first chapter. And so this is Paul, one of his most eloquent letters. It's the most theological. And it's like one of the letters where he's excited to tell people about what he found out. And I call it the ooh book. And if you ever watched a kid where they know an answer in class, or they know something, and you're asking the questions and ask somebody, do you know what, you know, X is, or you know what, and they raise their hand and like, ooh, I know it, and they can barely contain themselves. This is how Paul is in this letter. He can barely contain himself, because he finally came to the freedom, the peace, that the law wasn't going to save him. And so he could get over the failure of not living up to the law. He was like, I'm trying to live up to the law, but I keep coming up short. I'm trying to live up to it. I can't do it. When I would do good, I can't do it. Evil is always around me. I can't do the things that I want to do. And then he had this breakthrough in his faith, and he said that, you know, God's grace is what's going to deliver me from this body of sin, and that I'm saved through faith in God, saved through faith. It's not my works that saves me. It's the faith in the word of God that saves me. And when he had that epiphany, he was like, man, I got to tell everybody about this. Let me tell you. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in bondage of the power and the penalty of sin, that Jesus has defeated death in the grave. God has given us the power of his Holy Spirit. God will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. God lets us know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. a purpose, that we don't have to live in our righteousness, but we can take on the righteousness of God. And he just waved his hand. He said, ooh, 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 this is good stuff. And you don't have to worry about the Jews and the Gentiles. I know we have this terrible war.
Yeah.
It's taking place in the Middle East between the Jews and the Palestinians and the terrorist organizations. And all because they're hung up on their religion, hung up on their beliefs. And the only way that the conclusion that they can come to try to have peace is to kill the other one off, not knowing that that's just going to make the situation worse. And Satan sitting on the outside talking about, let me go ahead and watch them kill each other and then see what they're going to do. And I don't care what country you're in. Killing everybody off is not going to solve the problem. Help me out, Shula.
When you put it that way, it is so true. That's what I talk about. People focus on the problem or the thing at hand or the thing that's bothering them, that they stubbed their toe, they bumped their butt, somebody looked at them sideways, or somebody called them or didn't call them or saw them or didn't see them, and not looking at what God's miraculous work is, the fact that you are alive. And so, to your point, we're like fighting air. You know how, like, when your kids and you're fighting your siblings and everybody's just swinging their hands and you're just fighting air. You're fighting air. And then until a parent comes in and says, go sit down. And that's what they're doing. It's just like just fighting for the sake of fighting. And it's not just that country. It's like even the simple thing today where the FBI decided that they want to put the building in PG County, Greenbelt, it's predominantly black county. Now somebody's crying foul because they didn't go all the way down in Springfield, Virginia. Why? Why? It's because it's me, my, what I want, and so let's just fight over this. Meanwhile, there's terrorists around. So you're worrying about a building that's housing the employees that are trying to keep us within the United States from domestic violence and terrorism. And it's to your point, it's like, yeah, it's like you're fighting, you're arguing, instead of everybody just sitting and being content in whatever state they are, recognizing that let's point to God and let God do his thing and stop trying to do his thing for him.
Amen, amen. And you can't get this, and this is what we were talking about, that those three pillars. You can't get to that place where Paul is if, number one, you don't know God, you don't know his word, and you're not trying to live his word. And and Paul picks up after his introduction in verses 1 through 7 in his chapter. He picks up in verse 8, and he almost finished the last part of verse 7. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. He starts off there and says, you're loved by God. And you know, we can get a lot further in our conversation, our relationship, if we come to that same conclusion that we're all made in God's image, his image and his likeness. And he starts his letter and says that you're loved by God and called to be his holy people. And, you know, people want to throw that out the window, Dr. G. He said, yeah, I'm loved by God, but I don't want to live holy. I want to live the way I want to live. But you can't have two. It doesn't line up. You can't have both of them. And so what happens is when you call, you're loved by God, and God says, now I want you to live holy, you have to make a decision to live for God.
Yep.
And you know, once you make that decision to live for God, then you can get to this second part of this verse 7. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So once you learn that God has loved you, because God said in his word in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so now you know that God loves you, and he's calling you to be holy. Later on in this chapter, he talks about being transformed, and not in this chapter but in this book, he talks about being transformed by the renewal of your mind to live holy. To live for God. You know, we open our prayer that we want to study to show ourselves be approved unto God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing his word of truth. So you're loved and you're called to be holy. And then when you understand that and you're living the word of God to be a holy people of God, a peculiar people, he says he'll give you grace and peace. And that will come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, once God understands, you understand God's love, you understand God's called you to be holy, that it's not you that's living, it's the Spirit of God that's living in you that has given you life. And so when you begin to start living for God, when you begin to start applying God's word to your life, when you begin to start illuminating and shining the word of God, God will give you a peace. God will give you some grace. And see, that's the thing about grace. Grace will, even when you mess up, Dr. G, God will still love you in spite of you messing up. And so when you can understand that I'm not bound by the law, I'm not bound by sin, I'm not bound by death, you have grace and you have peace, and you can live a holy life for God. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the beautiful part about that is that God knows that we're not perfect, and that's why he does provide grace and mercy. And all we've got to do when we mess up, confess that Amen. We didn't mess up, and go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And it's that simple. But, you know, we just don't get it. I mean, we live in the midst of a people that, you know, like you said, they want to play on both sides of the field. And that's not really living for the Lord. That's living for self. For when you make up in your mind that nothing is going to separate you from the love of God, you understand, and just like Paul did, and that's why I love Paul. Paul was on the other side, but when the Lord got his attention,
he went 100%
committed. He had his ups, he had his downs, he went through some things, but he was still committed to the Lord, and his life demonstrated that, and that's what we have to be about.
Amen, amen. And that's what Paul, like I said, when he put their hand, this is what he's saying in verse 8 about the people he's writing to, because he heard about their faith. He heard about how they're living for God. And that's what's encouraging, is that you got people all over this world that are living for God. And so in verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported where? All over the world. In other words, Paul said, this thing is so powerful. This thing spreads so fast and so powerful that people living a holy life by the grace of God, that have experienced the same thing that Paul and that we've experienced, that we're saved by grace, that we don't have to be beat down by the consciousness of sin because the law couldn't save us. This is a new day. We're living under grace. We were talking about this Sunday in church, that we're in a dispensation or a period of time of grace. This is the greatest time of humanity, is to live in a period of grace. But what's coming after grace is a tribulation period.
Yeah.
So the hand of grace will be removed, and the tribulation dispensation or period of time will be instituted, where people gonna want to die and they can't die. when we understand that we live in a period of grace and there's forgiveness of sin through faith and belief in Jesus Christ, everybody should be raising their hands. I'm like, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. We should be having that moment. And this is what Paul is saying. People are talking about your faith all over the world, that you have experienced the thing, that you're living a holy life, that God has changed your life around, that even in difficult situations, you have a positive attitude. Even in rough circumstances, you're still giving God the praise. What is it about this thing that you're doing? And you tell somebody that I have salvation. God has set me free. He has delivered me. He has given me his spirit. He has given me a peace that surpasses all understanding. He has delivered my consciousness from the power and the penalty of sin. He has promised me that my eternity is set in place with him in heaven, that I have a new body, that I have a new a new home. I got a new name over in glory. And he's just raising and waving and raving about the faith of those people that are in Rome that have demonstrated, in spite of all the Roman governments and all the oppression and all of the things that are not of God, that their faith has shined in this darkness. Help me out, Sheila G.
Hey, man, you know, when I when you're reading and you're talking about this and about the people all over the world heard about their faithfulness, Jessica went for her post-op appointment this past week, and while she was on that floor, she was always playing her gospel music or singing, or even when she was in pain, she was saying thank you. She was always giving God the glory. When we had Sunday school or church, we would play the services, and every nurse that was on shift on that floor, and she was on two different ones, would say, you know, there was something about when they'd walk in that room, the positivity of it all. So when we went back to the post-op and we went to, mm-hmm. she wrote a letter to give to the nursing staff there. But as you know, you don't get every single nurse on that floor. So when she walked in there and she handed the nurse the letter to the head nurse on that floor, there were a couple of nurses that said to her, we didn't have mm-hmm. you as a patient, but we heard about you. And we knew about you, and to see you and to hear you, because she gave a little speech about you. Rough, and I thank God for all of you all. I appreciate you. But there was a couple of nurses that came up to her that said that we weren't able to be your nurse, but we heard about that patient in room 4E5 that was giving God the glory, that had a positive attitude, that had that upbeat spirit, that would get up and pushed her way through, even though the situation looked bad. To the point, and that's when you were saying about other people heard about you, that even they felt what was going on there. And that's what this is about. That is what people should recognize us. Like, sometimes we're the only Bible that people can see. We're the only mm-hmm. spirit that people can see. And even the best time to show it is when we're in our worst situation, but we're still giving God the glory.
Amen, amen. And that is what Paul was excited about, and that's what we have to be excited about with our fellow believers in Christ that are, might be in some challenging situation, but their faith is shining through. And we just ought to thank God, like Paul is thanking him. He said, I'm thanking God for you that you're being reported your faith is reported all over the world. And in verse 9, he picks up, he says, God, whom I serve in my spirit and preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. And so Paul is saying, I'm serving God in my spirit. And I think that's so important to our Christianity, is that we have not been left comfortless. But when Jesus ascended, he prayed the Father that he would send us another comforter. And so we have the Spirit of God that gives us the power and the ability to carry out and to live a holy life. And so Paul says, I serve God in my spirit. I'm not serving in my flesh. I'm serving in my spirit. And he said, I'm preaching this gospel and talking about his son, and that his son is my witness that I remember you in prayer. And that's the powerful thing about prayer, is that the Spirit will give you what you need to pray. And Paul talks about this later on in this book also, that when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. And it will make intercessions on your behalf. Now, how great is that? I mean, that is an awesome thing. And I was sharing on Sunday with in our service, is I always go to bed praying, and then when I wake up, it's like, okay, I trust God to pick back up I left off. It's like sometimes I will finish the thought, but I wake back up and I'm still praying. It's like I'm praying in my sleep. It's like every night I make it a practice that when I go to sleep, I don't go to sleep thinking about anything else, but I go to sleep praying for people, praying for God's wisdom, praying. And so when I wake up, instead of thinking about other stuff or worrying about stuff or what's going on the next day, I keep on praying. And uh-huh. and so Paul is saying, you know, I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. And Paul is saying, I want to get there, I want to come, I want to minister to you, and that's the anticipation, Dr. G. That's the excitement, and I don't know what happens to preachers, and so many fall by the wayside that they don't have that excitement anymore to want to come and deliver the word. It's like I don't know what it is. It's like when I read the word, it's like I'm got that let me tell you about this. Or you see people that are teachers and teaching Sunday school, or people that want to get on the line, and people want to come and fellowship, and people want to be in the presence of God because they know that God is good. And I don't know what happened to preachers, Dr. G, that some of them don't want to preach no more. Some of them don't want to teach no more. I don't know. But the Spirit of God will give you what you need and give you that desire to want to serve him in spirit. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you because of, I think Sheila said, free will and our humanness, we have a lot of preachers have, you know, they've gotten out of that spiritual mode. And, you know, for me, I just can't do it. I mean, I've gone through too much in my 70 years of life. I've lost family members. Through all that I've gone through, you know, all I could lean on was the Lord through jobs and everything else. My faith is what kept me going. And there's no way in the world that I could leave God to go back to the world. There's nothing in the world for me. But with a lot of these preachers, you know, it's just become routine. And for some of them, it's not as important as it used to be. You know, I hear what you're saying about the excitement. I still get the excitement. And
Amen.
You know, the excitement is there along with the nervousness, but that keeps me grounded. Yeah, yeah. And humble. But when you think of what God has done in your life, it ought to motivate you. It ought to get you excited. And now that I've watched and see what he's done in this little child's life, I can't. All I can do is try to contain that excitement until where I can let it out.
Amen, amen. And Paul picks it back up in verse 11. He says, I long to see you. And this is what he says. He didn't say, I long to see you for myself. He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So what is that? That selfless desire to preach, to teach, to share, so somebody else can get strong. And that's when you can get to that place, Sheila G, in your ministry, in your life, where you have a desire to help somebody else get strong. What is that? It is something that only God can give, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a teacher, whether you're just a child of God, that your whole focus is to impart some type of spiritual gift to someone to help make somebody strong, to get to a place where you're helping them. And then when you help them, verse 12 pops up. It says, that is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. What caused look at this thing that God says, if you're encouraged to part some spiritual gift to somebody else and you're excited about it and you give it to somebody, then what happens is now they begin to start ministering back to you. That's how that thing works with God when you're living a holy life compared in faith. And just when you think you're ministering to somebody, you're ministering to your child who's sick. Now your child who was sick is ministering back to you, and you're like, oh, my gosh, how much of a blessing is this that I can minister to them and they can minister back to me? But it's because of the good news of Jesus Christ that has given us this spirit, that has given us this peace of mind, that has given us the ability to be able to act and respond like him. So I know God, I know God's word, and I'm living God's word. And so I'm excited about imparting spiritual gifts to you. And then I'm just off the chain with this, ooh, 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 look at God, that now you're sending it back to me. So when I think I'm ministering to you, you flip the script, Sheila G, and are ministering now back to me.
Amen.
Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. That is something that we experienced this week, we have to continue to give God the glory for Jessica's situation, because part of what kept me going was sending out the messages to everyone about each step of that journey of her surgery. So, you know, I'd send out the group message, and I'd send it everybody pray, but I'm still giving God the glory. But then the responses that I got back from people that, yep, he's more than conquer, yep, baby girl, you got this, encouraged me, and it was almost like it lifted me up and pushed me on to do what I needed to do, even though I was sharing pictures and everything with all the village and the prayer warriors. That being fed back to me gave me the strength. But then this week, now Jessica is going through the second phase of now that she's home and having to get used to her new normal, and it's not easy for her. So on Sunday, I think it was, I said, you know what, now you got the time, why don't you call, you know, because I would read to her every single text, every single message. So we would give out the story, see God's miracle. We'd get that feedback, which kept us going. So you're on that spiritual high, but now it's like the new normal. She's back home trying to adjust to this. So she called people to thank them. Know just for that, and even and she was in her lowest point. But when she called those people, they in turn encouraged her by saying that last week when she was in the hospital, she encouraged them. And there was someone in particular where it was like, I was like, Jesse, I know you don't feel like it. I know you're not feeling it, but I'm telling you, that person is going through something. When you call them, you're going to see how you not only have encouraged them, but they would encourage you. And that's exactly what happened. She was not, this was not a good, the best week for her getting it adjusted, but by calling people, thanking other people, they in turn encouraged her. And she's like, okay, you know what, Holy Spirit, you know, it did. And she would tell them. She would tell them on the phone, you know what, talking to you, it really, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. So it was like, that whole back and forth thing, but it has to be spiritual, because from a human and a fleshy standpoint, based off how she was feeling physically and emotionally, she didn't really feel up to doing it. But once she started calling people, one, you know, the aunts, the cousins, sisters, they in turn encouraged her by telling her that they encouraged them. And and God on my heart to do that. It seemed strange, but as I've grown spiritually, I've just learned to ignore what people say and say, God said do it this way. I'm getting more and more like our mother, where it's like, whatever, but this is what God is saying to do it. And then when you do it, it's like, oh, it didn't make sense. It didn't seem right that the person did encouraging somebody else, but that person in turn is encouraging them. But that's really what it is if you are in that spiritual versus that fleshly mindset.
Amen, amen. It is so powerful to see God work through his people and then see his people by faith work with each other to help each other in these situations. Jessica and I have our little sessions every now and then. She'll come down and she'll say, oh, we got to talk. in the last session we had before she went through this situation, she got a breakthrough. And the breakthrough at the time, we didn't know that this was giving her the strength for what she had to go through. And it is so powerful that God will give you what you need when you need it, and he'll put people around you that you can lean on, and they can lean on you, and yep. You'll be able to make it through. You don't know at that time, you know, how things are going to play out, but yep. But if you stick with God, Lord have mercy, if you stick with him,
yep.
If you stay the course with him, he'll work that thing out. And you know, you always hear them people say, won't he do it? And somebody say, well, yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
And that's why it's important for us to assemble together, to encourage each other, to text, to call, to get together, to worship together, because you never know what you say or what you do is going to encourage someone else. So Paul was excited about seeing the folk at Rome to impart some spiritual gifts on them. Then he was looking forward to them being a blessing to them, to, you know, mutually encourage each other's faith. What is that, Dr. G? What is that? Where is that in the body of Christ right now? Where we encouraging each other? It's like a lot of times the church is just tearing each other down. We're not encouraging each other in faith. We're complaining, like Sheila G said. We're not encouraging each other. We're not, you know, being patient and loving and kind. We're not sitting down talking to each other. We're finding fault and instead of finding favor. Where is it all going, Dr. G? Help me out.
Well, when you think about that, because it takes me back to when I first started pastoring, and I walked into a mess, and the Lord did reveal to me, but not to the degree that I had to deal with. And the only way that I could have withstood it was to stand on my faith in the Lord and to trust in God. And you're right. I mean, we live in the midst of a time now where people will tear one another down. I mean, I've watched, this is in the church, how folk could come out of services arguing and fussing, and we had a guest church to come over, and they were doing this in the midst. People were trying to leave, and I had to take both parties back in the study, and what in the world is wrong with y'all? And, you know, and the stuff is just simple stuff. And the thing is, you know, we as the pastors, you know, we can't let that mess go on and just simmer and just go on thinking that it's going to be okay. They get out the church and get away from it. No, we have to confront that mess. And it's too much of that stuff going on in the church, not from the pulpit on down. And especially once we got through COVID, people just showed their true color. They didn't come back to church. They didn't want to even be on Zoom. And it's amazing how when the Lord calls that, and I thank God for it because it really showed us who was for real and who wasn't. And now we've taken the hand few that we have, and we keep on going. And the spirit is high. Folk love that and what we're doing and how God rules. So I don't know, other than, you know, people were perpetrating a fraud. You know, they're using the Lord's name in vain, but if you watch and pray, the Lord will reveal to you soon enough who's for real and who isn't.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for his fresh revelation. But I want to hear from some folk tonight about encouraging each other in the faith and how important it is to encourage each other in the faith. It's a powerful thing to go to minister to someone and find out they're ministering to you. So we're going to go to our first caller this evening, last four-digit 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I realized long ago how important it is to minister to someone, you know, because you don't know what words you're going to say that's going to really help them over something or help them through. And at the same time, they'll be saying things that's going to help you and encourage you. But it is very important. I don't have all the computer stuff and all of that stuff, but I do have a phone, and I do get on my phone and help encourage people the way that I can, because that's what I can do to help the Lord and help the person. Because I'm talking about the Lord, and I know they're into the Lord. They love the Lord. I know that. So we just have a good time with that. And I feel good.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that people had done the same for me when I was going through all that I had to go through, but it was because of God. But we were still praising God and giving him glory. So
Amen.
That's what was important to me. So,
Amen.
Yes, I think that's
Amen.
Very important. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Our last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's so hard to put things together when you have things in your mind going, and you talk to about the people, about the Lord, and they seem to buy it and go along with you and understand what you're going through. But it's so sweet to know that the Lord is that you got your hand, and you whatever you're going through, just go on and keep on walking. And just hold your mouth and hold your thoughts and call God every time you get a chance to, because you know the devil stopped working when he started. He's calling God's name because it makes him mad. So I'm having that problem all the time, but I love to call the Lord and say, and make the devil just jump up and pull all his hair off his head. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening. Let's be listening. All right. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Evangelist Gregory and Pastor Gregory, so glad to hear you all voice, and I'm glad that God is healing Jessica, and I've been keeping you all in my prayers, so I want you to know that.
Amen.
So Amen. Stay strong in the Lord, and encouraging one another is so, so important, and I just thank God for the many people that have encouraged me and have been where God has given me an opportunity to encourage others, because when we encourage other people, we are not so focused on our circumstance and our condition, and we stop having so many pity parties because sometimes we think we're in bad shape and somebody else is worse off than we are. So we do need to take the time to encourage one another. And also sometimes we just need to take the time and listen to people. And because sometimes people just want a listening ear. You know, they just want to know that they got somebody there that understand and taking the time just to hear them out, you know.
Amen.
So I thank God for that blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1718. 1718, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. I glad to hear Pastor Gregory and Sheila's voice this evening on the line. And I must say that I have shared my prayers with the Lord with you all, with Jessica, and that was a blessing within itself, because when all this happened to her, I was going through something myself, but I immediately forgot about myself, and she was such an inspiration to everyone. to see someone that young that has the faith to believe that God was going to do what he said he would do. That was an inspiration for all of us.
Amen.
And when she called us to thank us, I was speechless.
Yeah.
But I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy because I knew she was in the Father's hands.
Yeah.
And she was something special.
Yeah.
And everybody doesn't have that. And it's not being braggadocious. It's not being facetious about what God is, what he will do for you, he will do for me. She had that unconditional love for God, and he showed up and showed out to show all of us what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
What he can do. She has a story to share with so many
Amen.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it takes and that's what people are going to accuse you of bragging or boasting, I'm right with her because I have a testimony. She definitely has a testimony of what
Amen.
God can do.
Mm-hmm.
But first, you got to have it in your heart. The faith, the belief, the trust in God, and it's in the blood. It's in her bloodline on both sides.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And she is an angel right here before our eyes. And she's so humble. She is so humble to accept her condition, all of her life, and still on the battlefield for the Lord, for somebody else.
Amen.
I am so for her surroundings, for the people she associates with. She is eager to let you know. And I'm quite sure in that hospital she touched a many
yep.
soul.
Yep.
A many soul. Because of her belief and what she knew God was going to do for her. Because when we pray, a lot of people have doubts. But this young lady has faith and believes that God's going to do what he said he's going to do for her.
Mm-hmm.
And when she called me, I was just upset because of joy. Tears of joy, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And I thank you, Pastor Gregory and Sheila, and everybody on this line, that we have shared God's word with each other.
Amen.
To prepare us for these kind of situations that we know they're out of our hands, but God,
that's right,
is there for us. We went day by day praying, sharing God's word with Sheila, and she's sharing it with her child. My Lord, it doesn't get any better than that. And I just, words can't express what this story is all about. It just didn't just start. It's been growing all of her life. All of her life. Her journey with God.
Amen.
And he has not let her down. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You
Amen.
All be blessed. Continue to do what you do for the Lord. And we continue together here on Thursday nights, sharing the goodness of the Lord in our lives, in our children's lives, and believing and trusting in God and knowing that only he can do what he says he's going to do in our lives. And our whole life is dependent upon him in everything we do. Have that, and it's been manifested in your spirit, and you see it, unravel right before your eyes, it doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And he's a prime example of what God can do and what he will do if you trust him and have that little mustard seed faith that says, trust me. I am the truth. I am the light. And he is. And thank God for just praying for her. We're still praying for you all. And God does this. He will do what he says he's going to do.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., that's going to do it for us tonight. Good to be back. Yeah, some final comments. I'm going to close out with prayer, please.
Yes, I just want to thank everyone on this line that, like I said, every thought, every call, every text just encouraged us and strengthened our faith in the Lord and our household. So, you know, a lot of times the devil will try to come up against the first family, especially, and, you know, with pastor just standing on God's word in our church. And so he'll come. And Jessica actually said that she actually really saw the spiritual battle, war between the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan, and God won.
Mm-hmm.
And he won
mm-hmm.
because all of our prayer warriors supporting us. So I feel what Paul felt as far as knowing in the spirit that we're encouraging each other. And I thank you and I thank God for each and every one of you. I know Pastor feels the same way, because we've been in this thing together, and I just thank God. Truly thankful. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for allowing us to have this Bible study, Lord. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that we have nothing to complain about, Lord, that we just need to encourage each other, thanking each other, lifting one another up, Lord, and give Satan a black eye. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Perhaps we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.